Well, good morning. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about our reading from Romans, and I want to talk specifically about one verse. Paul, as he is talking about the church, as he's talking about this community right here, he says, "So we who are many are one body in Christ." We who are many are one body in Christ. And I want to reflect on this verse because the truth is the church, this community that we are a part of, it is an incredible treasure, a great treasure given to us. My hope is that this verse, as we reflect on it, it might help us see how precious this treasure truly is. And so how I want to address the verse, what I want to basically break it into two, look at that, the end of it, where it says we are one body in Christ. First, I want to talk about these two words, in Christ. What does Paul mean when he says we are in Christ? And then I want to talk about the fact that we are one body in Christ. So first we'll look at in Christ, what that means, and then we'll look at the fact that we are one body in Christ. So first, in Christ. Reading through Paul's letters, one thing you're struck with is that he over and over again uses this term, in Christ. It's a very important term for Paul, that we are in Christ, because it speaks to one of the central convictions and promises of the gospel. And when Paul says that we're in Christ, what he's speaking about is our relationship with Christ. And in Christ, it speaks to the depth of our union. Our relationship with Christ is not a superficial relationship. It's a profoundly deep relationship. And the image here is that we are in him. We are united to him. And it speaks also of everything that comes to us by way of our relationship to Christ, everything that Christ shares with us, because we are in him, we're united to him. You know, all healthy human relationships involve sharing. And the more profound a relationship you're in, the more profound the sharing. So take marriage, for example, a profoundly deep relationship. In a healthy marriage, you have two people who come together and they share. They share their home. They share their money. They share their strengths and weaknesses. They share their bodies, Paul tells us. They share their joys and their sufferings. They walk through life together and they share everything. That's why it's such a profound relationship. Human relationships involves sharing. And our relationship with Christ involves sharing too. And what we're promised in the gospel is that because we're in relationship with him, because of our trust in Christ, our faith in him, because we're in him, we're united to him, he shares with us. Which is good news because Christ has a lot of good things to share with us. Paul talks about all these things that Christ shares because we're in him. Here are some of the examples he talks about throughout his letters. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 that we receive grace in Christ. Because we're in Christ, we receive his grace. Romans 3, he says our redemption is in Christ. Galatians 2, we are justified in Christ. Romans 6, we have eternal life in Christ, right? The life that Christ came to bring, the abundant life, the eternal life he shares with us. Ephesians 4, we have forgiveness of sins in Christ. Romans 8, there is no condemnation in Christ. Colossians 1, we will be presented to God as perfect in Christ. Christ shares his perfection with us. Romans 8, we cannot be separated from the love of God in Christ. The love that Christ has with the Father, he shares that with us too. and on, right? I've actually got a longer list here. He shares so much with us. And again, it's by our relationship with him, our union with him. Right? That's what it means to be made righteous in Christ Jesus. We get in on what Jesus has accomplished because of our union, this profound relationship. We are in him. And that promise, it should awe us, right? And we should believe it with all our hearts because it changes everything. And it sits at the very center of the gospel promise that we are in Christ in this union with him. So that's the first part. That's what Paul is referring to when he says that we are in Christ. But then, again, he says that we are not just in Christ, but we are one body in him. All of us, we who are many, are one body in him. So what does that mean, that we're one body? Well, there's two ways to use this word, body. And Paul here is using both definitions for the word body. First way we use the word body is to talk about a group of people. We are a body of people in this room. We are a community. And Paul is saying that we are united, we in this room as the church, we are united because we are all in Christ. By relationship, by the fact that we each have a relationship with Christ, we are therefore related to one another. So for example, if I am Christ's brother and you are Christ's sister, well, that means I'm your brother. Christ stands at the center of this community. And because we're related to him, we are related to one another. And that is really an amazing gift given to us. Because what it means is that everything we talked about in terms of what Christ gives us, it means that we don't experience that alone, but we get to experience this together. We get to experience being forgiven together, being loved together, being perfected together. We get to do this as a community. And it's not only that we're here to support one another as we experience this, which we are, but actually as we live into this fact that we are in Christ, as we do this together, a new type of community becomes possible. It's an incredible type of community. We begin to see one another. Again, if we truly believe that we're in Christ and that each one of us is also in Christ, we begin to see Christ in one another. We're also freed up from the need to constantly justify ourselves or impress one another, which makes a whole different type of love possible. And so this community forms, a community of love that is made possible because of Jesus. So that's the first way we think of this word body here. We are one body, we are one community in Christ, knitted together. But then there's this also the second way that we can read the word body. And that is to think about our physical bodies, right? We are one physical body in Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, as we think about our physical bodies, we know that each one of us has a body, right? You have a body, I have a body. But we're more than bodies, we're told by the scriptures. We also have a soul. We're body and soul. Psalm 42 says, "My soul longs for God, as a deer longs for running water. My soul longs for God." The soul, according to the scriptures, is the heart of who we are as a person. A commentator named Marcus Barth, he says this about the relationship between body and soul. He says that the body is the visible form of the life that God has given us. Right? The body is the visible manifestation or visible expression of our soul, of our life. And you see, here is how Paul then is using this metaphor of the body. He's saying that we're not just a community in Christ, but we're actually a physical body in Christ. He says this more clearly in 1 Corinthians when he says, you are the body of Christ. You're his body. Paul Leithart, a Presbyterian thinker, says this about us being the body of Christ, about us being the physical manifestation of Christ. He says, throughout her history, the church continues to be the place where Christ reaches out to the world. The church is not a continuation of his incarnation, but the church, joined to the God-man, is a new humanity filled with the Spirit of Christ. And wherever the church goes, there is the power and love and light and joy that was manifested in the personal body of Christ. So again, he's saying that because we're in Christ, because we share in him, in his Spirit, we as a body, a physical body, manifest Christ to the world. Now that is an awesome thing. It's an awesome responsibility and promise that we get to manifest Christ to the world. And I'd also say an awesome gift to be called in this way. So we are, in a sense, Christ's physical body in the world. You know, I said in the beginning that the church is a great treasure, an incredible treasure. And Jesus, he tells a parable about a great treasure. I'm sure we remember this parable. He says that there's a man, and he's walking through a field one day, when all of a sudden he notices that there's something in the ground. Maybe he sees kind of a glint of silver or gold. He sees something over there, so he decides to stop and go check it out. And so he does. He goes over there, he brushes away the dirt, and he realizes there is this treasure right here, this incredible treasure buried in this field. And so we're told then he is overfilled with joy, which is to be expected, and he runs into the town, and he sells everything he has to own that field so he can have that treasure. Now, when we hear that parable, we sometimes think it's a parable about sacrificing, about selling everything we have, giving our whole selves to God and his kingdom. But the truth is, that's not what the parable is about. The parable is about recognizing the treasure. See, that's what's commendable in this man. He could have walked right by the treasure, missed it. He could have seen something and said, well, I don't have time to check that out. I have to get to where I'm going. But no, the man stops and he recognizes the treasure. And once he recognizes it, everything else falls into place. Of course he sells everything he has. He would be a fool not to. It is a good business decision to do that. And you see, our problem often is that we do not recognize the treasures that are given to us. And of course, when we don't recognize the treasure, well, then we don't respond to them in the way that we should. We don't prioritize them. We don't sacrifice for them. We don't give ourselves over to them. And this is true of the church, true of this community. We cannot take this treasure that's been given to us for granted. We can't walk by it. And so I encourage you to meditate on the treasure of the church. And this is a great time to do it, because today we come back from the summer. We kick off all our programs for the year. We get back into our routines, into our rhythms this time of the year. And so I encourage you to prioritize this place and prioritize this community, one another. Prioritize our times of worship, our times of Sunday school and study, prioritize our times of fellowship and of service, right? Recognize the treasure given. Recognize that in Christ, God has made us one body in Him. Amen.